Okay, the boys, today's daf is daf Chof Ches. We're holding the final line on Chof Zayin Amid Beit. And we're continuing in the recitations by the Gemara of a number of greats, Tanoim and Amiroim, who lived long lives. And each time the Gemara asks, B'meh Harachta Yamin. So we started off this sugya on the second wide line, where you have the Zalfon Simen. And the Zayin of Zalfon, that was Rav Zakkai. The Lamed was for Reb Lozar, Lamed of the Lozar. And now we go to Fei, which is Rav Preda. Final line of the Yom Chalu Talmid of Rav Preda. B'meharach the Yomim. In what did you do to be Zochet to Arichas Yomim? Amalahem, so he told him the following. I was always the first one to open the Bismedesh every morning. And I didn't take away the bracha from the koyin. What does that mean? Machlokes Rashi. And Tosis Rashi learns that it's referring to the benching. That when it came to benching, I always allowed the koyin to go and bench, and I didn't take it away from him. Tosis says it has to do with Kriyas HaTorah, and to allow the koyin to get the first aliyah. Says, pray that I never took it away from the koyin. And I never ate from a behemah that the matonis were not given. Anytime you shecht, not kodshim, but chulin min hatoira, there's three presents that you're supposed to go and give to the kohen. Rashi tells us all three at the very top. The zroya lechayayim v'hakeva. Zroya is part of the thigh, lechayayim are the cheeks, and the keva is one of the four stomachs of the animal. So anytime a person checks a regular animal, those are supposed to go to the kohen. We are not nohig this today, and the Gemara later on in Kodshim talks about it in greater detail. But that's what you're supposed to do. Now, as we'll see in the Gemara momentarily, the halacha is that these matonis are not like the matonis that one gives if you're a farmer. A person who's a farmer and has tevel has to go and give a certain portion to the koyin, to the levi, depending on the year. Sometimes he has to take up to Yerushalayim, sometimes he has to give to the aniyim. And if a person does not give those matonois that you're supposed to give from the tevel, then the tevel remains tevel, and you're not allowed to eat from it. That is not the case with these matonois that you're supposed to give from the basar, from the flesh. Therefore, says Yimoyim, Rabbi Yitzchak, Rabbi Yochanan, Aser lechol mi behemah shloi horma matnoiser. Rabbi Yitzchak, Rabbi Yochanan says you're not allowed to eat from the behemah where matonis were not given, that you didn't give zroya lechayim v'keva. V'yom Rabbi Yitzchak, kol oichol mi behemah shloi horma matnoiser ki ilu oichol tvalim. It's as if he eats tavel. So lechayra, all Reb Preda was doing what it says in halacha. But Yimoyim says v'les hilchas v'kavosei. The Maisa, we don't paskin that way. It's all wonderful that Rabbi Yochanan feels that way and Rabbi Yitzchak feels that way. But the Maisa senitazeh. V'alocha the Maisa, you're allowed to eat it without giving the zeroya l'chayim v'keva. And in fact, that's what we do every day of the week when we eat meat. No one has given zeroya l'chayim v'keva to the koyin, and no one says that you're over on eating tevel of the basar.
Does hurma mean actually giving it or separating it in sort of perfunctorily? Or does it actually mean, I mean, when they say you should not, you know, if you simply separated it.
You're right. Literally, the Gemara is saying hurma that you're supposed to go and be mafresh, go and remove it from the animal. But again, we don't do that today either. Not only don't we give it to the kohen, it's not removed and it's sold or it's disposed of, depending on whether you can eat it or not, the health department. But of Lamaisa, we are not knowing this way, and but Reb Preda was still makbin, and that's one of the reasons that he said that's why it was Zeichet Arichas Yam. I was careful not to take away the benching from the kohen. The memra dam yusi, Zeitzachos, from the fact that Reb Preda is attributing that as one of the factors that allowed him to have longevity, so it sounds like it's a mala, that this is something positive. From Rabbi Yochanan, it's the other way around. Kol Talmud Chochem shemavarech lefonav, afilu koyin gadol ama oretz, oisin Talmud Chochem chayim misav. Now when you have a Talmud Chochem that allows even a koyin gadol, if the koyin gadol is an ama oretz, to go and bench in front of him, in other words, to take away the benching or the first aliyah or something from him. That Talmud Chacham is Chayiv Misa. Chayiv Misa, Shemit says in the Pasuk, Kol Misanai Ohavu Moves. All of those that hate me, says the Rabbi Yishloelim, they love death. Al Tikri Misanai, those that hate me. El Masniai, those that cause others to hate me. What does that mean to cause others to hate me? So explains Rashi on the third line. Shegarmin lebnei adam lisanoisoi, that they cause the rank and file other people to chas v'shalom have sin against Hashem. Shaharoyah Talmud Chacham shofel lefnei am haaretz oimer einachas ruach b'toira. I see this great giant, he comes into shul, and comes the time for aliyas, and they give some totally ignorant Amoritz koyin to go and get the aliyah with his shirt sticking out on all sides, unkempt, without a tie, doesn't dress properly. Here you have a gadol hador, and here you have a
shofar.
Exactly. And you give him the aliyah, so people say, you see, being a gadol b'torah is gonish. That's a, it really has no status in society. And that causes people to have a, they look down on kavanat Torah. And therefore says, the Kodesh Baruch Hu, those people that are mechabed, stam koyhanim who are amaratzim in front of gedolei Torah, then they cause others to hate the Torah and to hate Yiddishkeit and say, what's the whole Yiddishkeit worth if this schlepper, he's the one that's going to get the covet before a grace of God? So what's the pshat over here? Repreida obviously is a great person, and if he allowed Stam HaKoyin to go in front of him to go and bench or to have the aliyah or something, isn't that bad? It's not a mala. Rabbi Yochanan said, Chas v'sholom Chai Lisa. Every Marki Ka'amra Iyu B'shoven. Avada Repreida agrees to what Rabbi Yochanan just said. He's not talking about a schlepper situation. He's talking about a Choshev HaKoyin situation. We have a Choshev HaKoyin, and you have a person like Repreida. Repreida says, I'm not going to go and take the covet away from this Choshev HaKoyin. I'm going to give it to him. Now the Lashon HaGemara B'shoven sounds like they are of equal stature. But the Top Toises says if they're equal stature, so then what's the Chiddush? We all know that there's a din of Ikidashtoi, that you're supposed to allow a Koyin to go first. And that's why we always allow the Koyin to get the first Aliyah, and that's why we allow the Koyin to bench, and so on and so forth. So says the Top Toises, what we mean to say is that the Koyin was slightly less than Repreida. Repreida was a grace of Godel, and this Koyin was a Chmaisa, 80% of a Godel. He wasn't 100%, he was a little bit less. Under those circumstances, and then, says the Gemara, says Repreida, although I may not have had the chiyuv of a kiddashtoi, but certainly not the bizoyin that Rabbi Yochanan is talking about a schlepper, we're talking about a chosh v'yid. He's not in the same madrig as Repreida. See, the top choice is the kasha, my rebusa. See, choice is going on, ki ka'amar il b'shoven, where the koyin was relatively on the same level. What's the chiddush then of a preda? We don't mean they were mamish on the same level. He was also a scholar. But he wasn't on that madrig of a preda. Nevertheless, Repreida still didn't want to take away the covet from that koyin. Anyway, so the bottom line is, although the Gemara uses the term v'shavin, it doesn't mean mamish v'shavin. It means that he was a close second, if you will. And therefore, he did not have the din of the kiddashtoi because he was, in fact, a lower madrega. But the fact that Repreida was gave away from his honor and prestige and allowed this other koyin to go first, because he was a Talmud Chacham, even though he wasn't on the same level, Repreida attributed that as one of the factors towards his longevity.
It seems like a strange, I mean, if a Torah scholar would be liable to death at the hands of heaven for something like this. It's
Gemara,
a pretty extreme penalty.
You're 100% right. The Gemara often uses terms like that to be graphic and to use it for emphasis. I don't know that Rabbi Yochanan really meant it that halacha lemaisa, you know, take in front of Bezin with Hasra, and Chas v'Shalom go and give a Misa, or even Misa B'dei Shemayim. He's just trying to emphasize how important it is to a Talmud Chacham has to keep his status and his stature, and not be mashpul himself in front of Shleppers. In front of other Talmid Chacham is a different story, but not in front of Good. So that's the shtickle. The Gemara is an a little bit difficult to understand because there's another famous Gemara that says about Repreda, that Repreda had an enormous amount of patience. And in fact, he had one Talmud that was struggling with his learning because Repreda told him, I want you to know I have to leave early today. I have to go to Chasana, to Bar Mitzvah, whatever it was. And therefore, no matter how many times Repreda taught the Talmud, it just wasn't sinking in. And Repreda said to him, well, why don't you understand the shir? He says, every moment I'm afraid you're going to leave, and therefore I can't focus anymore. I'm so nervous that you're going to leave, and I'm not going to understand it.
I know how he feels.
So the Gemara tells us that Repreda sat down with him and taught this Talmud 400 times. 400 times. Based on that, the Gemara said he was zocher to a special bracha that he lived 400 years. 400 years. So, if that's the case, why didn't Repreda attribute that reason for the Arichas Yomim Vishanim? That's the bottom toises here on the Amid base. If you look at the last toys, Shalom, Tomidus Repreda. But Me'erach Yom Kasha, the Adraba, Hoye Beschusha, Yeshonel, the Talmud Echad, Arba Me'oi Zimni, 400 times. Venofik Baskel, the Yom, and a Baskel came out from Shabbai. And they said, Repreda, that type of Mesiris Nefesh for a Talmud, that's one in a generation, one in a million, you find someone with that type 400 times. And therefore they asked him, No'a l'cha d'liski kule dori li alma di'asi, what would you prefer, that in the schus of your tremendous Mesiris Nefesh to learn with this young Talmud, do you want that the entire door should be zoicha to oilam haba, oi d'lechia dalet meyashan, or instead that you should go and live 400 years? Before he had a chance to answer, Omer Kodesh Baruch Hu, Yehavale ha v'ha, give him both. All people living that generation should be zoicha to oilam haba, and he should be zoicha to 400 years. So I see that that was the reason for his Arichas Yom, having nothing to do with being the first in Bis Medrash, and Berachti Lefnei Koyin, and Israel Chayam V'akeiva. In other words, our Gemara is talking about that Repreda only lived, that he only lived, at the time that he was asked, he was only 100, 120 years old, 150 years old. So he attributed it to those other things. When he lived 400 years old, then he realized, it's connected the 400 times that he went and taught the Talmud, and it could very well be that he only taught the Talmud after he had already hit 100 years or 150 years. He's going strong, Baruch Hashem, and he continued teaching and teaching until his last breath. So therefore, could be Taka, he was Zeicha 400 because of the Talmud, but that's not a Kash in our Gemara, because it's talking about years before, either years before this occurred, or years before he was Zeicha to the 400 years. Anyway, getting back to our Gemara, and we continue on to the next one. We went through Reb Zakkai, Reb Luzer, Reb Preda, and now we have the final, the Nun of Zalfan, and that gets us to Reb Nechunya ben Akana. Shaula told me to Reb Nechunya ben Akana. What schus did you have? Longevity. I never allowed myself to be honored and someone else to be shamed as a result. What does that mean? We'll see in a minute in the Gemara. When I went to sleep, I never allowed myself to have chas v'shalom a taina, a klola against someone else. In other words, as we'll see in the Gemara, he was always moichel everybody before he went to sleep. And I was also a vatran when it came to money. I always waived my rights and let the other one get the better of the deal. And the Gemara explains, what does that mean? I didn't have kavod and the other person was shamed. Rav Huna dori mora akaspe. Rav Huna was carrying a spade on his shoulder. Now this was not what you would normally think of Rav Huna. Rav Huna was a gadol hadar. Going around with a spade on his shoulder was not the kovedik. Also, Rav Chana bar Chaniloi, the kadori minei, on the side it says the kashokul minei, Rav Chana bar Chaniloi came on the scene, and he schlepped it away, he was pulling it away from Rav Huna. In other words, saying, Rav Huna, it's pasnish, you should be the one. Now, we know already from yesterday's Gemara that there was a relationship between Rav Huna and Rav Chana bar Chaniloi. Where did we have that? Go back to the Chaf Zayin Amid Aleph, the last two lines on the Amid. The Gemara says, Rav Huna Goza Tanisa, Huna was Goza Tanis for the whole region. Only Gabe Rav Chana Bar Chaniloi, v'chol b'nei Masay. Rav Chana Bar Chaniloi had his own town, but apparently that town was a suburb, or was very close to Rav Huna, and therefore they figured, if Rav Huna is making a Tanis, we're not going to go and have our own private minion, we're all going to go on Mas to join Rav Huna, and the schus of Rav Huna, Miat Hashem, hopefully the rain will come, or whatever tzorah that there was, will go away. And then we had a whole story about that they put stuck on them, like we learned yesterday. But we see Rav Chana Bar Chaniloi was, if you will, a close neighbor of Rav Huna in another town, another city, and he knew the greatness of Rav Huna, and he sees Rav Huna walking around with a spade on his shoulder, and he says, Pasnish, you should go, you grace and godly, you should go around with such a spade. So therefore he tried to pull it away from him. Amalei, so now Rav Huna said to him, listen, Iragilis Adoris Ben Masech Dari, if in your own town where you happen to live, if you go around from time to time with a spade on your shoulder, then that's okay. Then I will allow you to go and take it and carry it. The Eloi, however, if you never walk around with such a spade, Isyakuri Ano, that I should get honor, Mizilusa Didoch, while you are getting a certain degree of shame, that I don't want. In other words, if normally you walk around with a spade, okay, then if you want to do me a favor and take it, I'm not upset. However, if you never walk around because it's not covetic for you, and you just want to give covet to me, that I'm not happy with. And therefore, that's what Ramchuni ben Akana had, that same midah, that if people wanted to honor him, fine, as long as it didn't cause shame to them, etc. But they also mitosik kilas chaveri, and I also didn't go to sleep and having a klola on my chaver. What does that mean? Ki hod marzutra, ki have a solik lapuria. When our marzutra would go to sleep, puria means a bed. Ki have solik lapuria when he would go up onto his bed to go to sleep. Omri would say, shori leila cholman de tzaran. I am moichel anybody that caused tzar for me or for my mishpacha. I am moichelem. And as you know, in all of the Krishna Tzetlach, they have a rabbeinu shaloylem about people being moichel anyone that caused a person tzar. Finally, said Rav Nachum ben Akana, "Vater mimamoni hayisi." I was a mevater. I always waive my rights. Yom Amar, Iyov vater mimamoni hava. Iyov was also a vater mimamoni. Shohi yemeiniach pruto lechem v'ni mimamoni. Whenever there was some sort of transaction, he would leave behind the pruta. In other words, he'd leave back some of the petty cash, some of the pennies for the chenveni, just in case he overcharged, he didn't charge him properly, or he undercharged him, or whatever the situation was. He didn't want Chas v'Shalom to go and damage somebody else, so he always left behind extra money. So he too, Rav Nechonya, had that mitzvah. And the Gemara continues, showed Rav Kives or Nechonya HaGadol. The machloikis, whether Nechonya HaGadol is the same as Rav Nechonya ben Akana that we just spoke about, or whether this is someone else. It would appear that it's someone else because they asked him the same question, but Meharach the Yomim, and he gave different answers than Rav Nechonya ben HaKana gave. If it's the same person, we didn't have a chance to finish all of the reasons why Rav Nechonya ben HaKana attributed his longevity. Anyway, so again, they asked Rav Nechonya, here it says, Shol Rav Akiva. Rav Akiva asked Rav Nechonya, but Meharach the Yomim, why were you Zoycha Tarichas Yomim? Osu Gavzi the Kamochule. Gavzi, says Rashi, means the servants of Rav Nechonya came and they started giving pech to Rav Akiva. With the suggesting that the reason why he's asking that question is a question of chutzpah, and saying Rav Nechonya, Shishinginuk, you're already old enough, and what do you need to live longer? In other words, you know, share the covenant with other people, share the limelight with other people. And the servants felt that that's a chutzpah dika thing to go and say to Rav Nechonya, and therefore they started giving him pech. So what did Rav Akiva do? So like Yosef Aresha Dikla, he had no other place to hide, he had to go and climb up to the top of a tree. Amalei, from the top of the tree, he, Rabbi Kiva, called out to Rav Nechonya, and he said, Rabbi, let me ask you a question. It says by the Tomid Shel Shachar, we learn this always on Rish Chodesh, and many people say it every day in Karbonos, in Nemar Keves, Lom Nemar Echad. It's a Keves Hu Echad Tase Baboykevi, it's a Keves Hasheni Tase Bein Raboyim. You bring two to meet him every day, the Keves Echad, in the morning. Now the word keves by definition is singular. Why does it have to say keves? Ho echad would be enough to just to go and say keves. Amalahu said, Nachunya HaGadol said to his servants, he said to them, Tzumer Rabbanahu, you see from the question that he's asking that he's a Talmud Chacham, Shavku, leave him alone, don't give him any more petch. Amalei, so now Rabbi Nachunya answers the question that the word Echad, Keves Echad is not telling you that it's one. I know Keves means one. Echad means that it's Miyuchad Shebeedrei, it's unique, it's special. In other words, it's not just one of the rank and file lambs or sheep, but rather it's a chashiva lamb in terms of its size, its weight, its appearance, whatever. You don't want to go and bring for Kodesh Baruch Hu stama carbon, you want to go and bring a unique chashiva carbon. Oh, that's the lashon of Keves Echad. So now let's get back to the question that Rabbi Kiva posed. Why were you zeicha to arichas yom? Omalei, mi yomai lekibalti matonis. I was very careful not to accept presents from anyone. V'liyamalti al midoisai. And I was never oimid al my midah. In other words, if somebody insulted me or whatever, I didn't immediately say, well, I'm going to go and punch the guy back. No, I went and I swallowed it and I kept it within me. And I was also careful that I waived my rights when it came to money, that I always let the other person get the better side of the deal. And the Gemara now explains. What means that I didn't take presents? When the Beis HaNasi would go and send presents to Rabbi Elazar, he would never take them. When they would invite him to come over for a meal or for Kiddush, he wouldn't go. And he would always respond, don't you want me to live? There's a famous pasuk in Mishlei. A person who hates, or in this case, declines matanis, he will live. And therefore, shkoyach beis hanasi, I know you mean well, but I want to live, and therefore, please, let me go. Rav Zeira had a similar type of situation, but not exactly the same. Rav Zeira gave mishadeli mebeinasiya when they would send him presents. They have a shakel. In other words, the same thing that we just said for Rebbe Lossa. Ki av mizam nilei, however, when they invited him over to come, also then he would go. Omar, he said about himself, is yakuri de misyakri bi. It's not pshat that they're doing me a favor. My going over to them, I'm doing them a favor. Because this way they'll be able to afterwards say, oh, you know what a choshev gast we had today. Reb Zeira was here. Wow, Reb Zeira, oh, the great giant Reb Zeira. So therefore, you're not doing me a favor, I'm doing you a favor. I'm happy to do a favor based on Asi. I won't take the present, but I'm happy to go and give presents, to go give presents with my presents. Good. A very famous member of Rava, called Mavr al Midoisa Mavir mi menu kol pshav. A person who's Mavr al Midois. Mavr al Midois means he doesn't insist on all of his rights. Rashi says, someone that is chas shalom goimel ra, lemishit sireni. If you see Rashi, about a third down the Omid, v'liyamarati al Midoisa, leshalim gmul ra, lemishit sireni. If somebody caused me certain amount of irritation, certain amount of anguish that day, I didn't say, okay, well, he deserves it that I should go and respond in kind or whatever. No. He was mad with me. He said, okay, sure, what can I do? Person mocked me, he denigrated me, but I'm not going to go and take revenge. I'm not going to even hold a grudge against him. And Mavala Midas. So Shapurz Mavina Mimena Kol Pshav, then they take away all of his Aveiros. Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Meshalem Midah Kenegen Midah. If he's willing to go and forego and any type of anguish that people cause him, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, even if you, Chas V'Shalom, cause me anguish, I'll also waive my rights just like that individual. Shnei like it says in the pasuk, Noisi Ovein Va'Oiver Al Pesha. What does that mean? Lemi Noisi Ovein. To whom is the Kodesh Baruch Hu Noisi Ovein that he's willing to go and forgive his sins? Lemi, for an individual that also is very forgiving, She'Oiver Al Pesha. And people tell numerous stories about people that have been insulted at various public occasions, and if they have not responded, then they immediately go over to him and say, please give me a bracha because I haven't had a child for so many years, or please give me, I need a shidduch, or this, that, and the other thing. And they tell stories about how this has been very, very effective, his brachos, because this person is now noki min hacheit, mavir mimena kol pshav, the Kodesh Baruch Hu has taken away his averus when the person has been willing to swallow his pride. Ask him for a bracha, and that bracha could be very, very potent. Zokti more right. Shol Rabbi Yisrim Shimon Karcha. Bavne harachti yom. How you zoicha tarichas yom. And Omalei's Rabbi Shimon Karcha's response was similar to the response of the Avodim of Rambachuni HaGadol. And he said, Omalei, katzde b'chayai. Why are you asking me that question? Does it bother you that I come to shul every day? I'm the elder senior statesman in shul that you're asking me, how is Ezoicha Tarichas Yamim? Amalai said, Chas Shalom, that's not what I meant. Rabbi, Toyle Yivlum HaMinitzarch. I would also like to be Zoicha Tarichas Yamim. I'm very happy you should live for another 120 years. The point is, I would also like to be able to live as long as you, and therefore, tell me some of your midos, so I'll be able to go and follow in your footsteps. Amalai Niyomali Nistakalti B'dmus Adam Rasha. I never looked in the face of an Adam Rasha. I always, when I see an Adam Rasha coming, I would look in the other direction. You're not allowed to look in the face of a Rosh Hashanah. It says in the Pasuk in Malachim, what is this talking about? Yehoshaphat together with Yehoram. Yehoshaphat was Melech Yehuda. He was an Erlecha king. And Yehoram was a Melech Yisrael. And like most Melech Yisrael, he was not such a great guy. And the two were making an alliance to go to war against another nation, and they called in Elisha. Elisha was the Navi, and Elisha looked at Yehoshaphat and said, oh, this is a tzaddik fenayit. He looked at Yehoram, he said, ah, here's Arusha. And therefore said Elisha, lulei pnei Yehoshaphat ben Melech Yehuda, ani nois, if it wasn't for the fact that Yehoshaphat is here, and for him I have tremendous derech eretz, im avid elech, I would never look at you, Yehoram, the meracha, and I would never take a gaze at you because of the fact that you're a Rosh. So we see from this pasuk that you're not supposed to look at the face of an Adam Rosh. Not only that, Reb Lazar Omar, Ein of Kehois, a person who looks at a Rosh, then his eyes, Chas V'Sholem, become dim. His vision becomes dim. Shenemar, like it says in the pasuk, V'Yikizok and Yitzchak, V'Techena Ein Amera Ois. Why was Yitzchak struggling with his vision? Why was it dimmed? Because he looked at his own son, Esav. That's what caused Yitzchak's dimming vision. We had this command not long ago. You should never look upon the klol of the hedjit as being light in your eyes. After Abimelech freed Sarah, he left one last klola, because of the fact of all the things that happened to him when he had taken Sarah away from Avraham Avinu, and it's kind of Zara, and although the Klala was not Mekuyim in Sarah herself, but it was Mekuyim in her children, Shem, it says in the Pasuk, Hinei hulach ksus einayim l'choil asher itach ve'is koil v'noi chochas. So he state in Pasuk. Now the term ksus einayim has a number of interpretations, but the way our Gemara interprets it is al tehikri ksus el ksias einayim, that this should be this whole affair and this whole incident, and I'm now releasing you and I'm even giving you some riches at the same time, this should all cause Chas V'Sholem Ksias Einayim, that the eyes should be covered over. In other words, that the vision should become dimmed. And although it didn't happen to Sari Menu, it did happen to the son, to Yitzhak Avinu. So I see that that's what caused the dimming of vision, not because he looked at Esav Arosha. It was a combination of both factors, both the kilhas Avimelech, as well as the looking at Esav. Could be that the Gemara, when it says Hava Ha Garmalei, is similar to what we had with Levi. That we know that Levi was Itla, he became lame. The Gemara says there were two reasons he became lame. Number one, because he tiach Dvarim Klapi Mala. He spoke inappropriately against the Kodesh Baruch Hu. So the Kodesh Baruch Hu, you went Alisa Lamarayim, and you're not looking after your children down below. You're not giving them rain, you're not giving them panasa, you're not giving them food. And it also happened at the time that he was Machvi Kida Lefnei Rebbe, when he was showing that acrobatic act of the Kida in front of Rabbi. See, Mara says, Havah Garmalei. And Rashi explained, what was the Havah Garmalei? It was because he was Itiach Tvorim Klapi Mala that unfortunately his fate was now sealed. But when did it become triggered? At the time when he was B'mokim Sakana, when he was on his fingers, then the Kodesh Baruch Hu said, okay, now let the punishment sink in. So it could be the same thing, that Avimelech's Klolo was kind of hovering in mid-air, waiting to go and attack one of Sarah, or her children, or her progeny. And what happened was, at the time that he looked at Esav, boom, then the klola became effective, and then unfortunately he had the dimming of vision. Anyway, so this is one makar, the first makar the Gemara asks, how do you know you're not supposed to look at Adam Rasha from the mice of Elisha with Yehoshaphat and Yehoram. Rav Amar Mihalcha, I have another raya, it's in the pasuk, Eis Pnei Rasha Lo Toif, don't look in the face of a Rasha, have nothing to do with a Rasha. Pshas B'tirasai, so now he is about to pass away. Who is he? This is Reb Yeshua ben Karcha. Omalei Rebbe, so Rebbe said to Pshu ben Karcha, Barcheni, you've lived such a long life, give me a bracha, presumably also to have a long life. Omalei, and then very unexpectedly, Rebbe Yeshua ben Karcha says to Rebbe, Yirasa shetagia lechatzi yomai, yishrebi zoicha to 50% of my life. Hopefully he lived 250 years, and then Rebbe would get 125. But Rebbe was a little bit miffed, and he said, Kulu Roy, if you're giving me a bracha, why don't you give me a bracha that I should live as long as you? Amar Loi, so he told him, Haboy Macharecha, Vehema Yeru, do you want that all of your children should go and be shepherds? What does that mean? So Rashi explains, Rebbe, as we know, one of his titles was his Rebbe Yehuda HaNasi. He was a Nasi of Klal Yisrael. And therefore he tells him, if you're going to be Zoicha Tarichas Yom Mishonim, you know what's going to happen is that your children are not going to be in power for many, many, many years. If you're going to live the Mushal until 120, and assuming that the children are, let's say, 20 years younger, then your son is going to become Nasi at the age of 100. And therefore, what is he going to do for the 100 years? He's just going to be a shepherd. So, if you would happen to be a commoner, things are tight, you should go and live till 120. However, you do want that your children should also ascend to the throne and become the seer. The only way that's going to happen is if your life is going to be a little bit shorter. If you look at Rashi in the middle of the Amid, Haboyim Acharecha Behem Yiru, it's about halfway down. Haboyim Acharecha Behem Yiru, Bitnia. It's not good for you, lichyos yomim rabim kamayna, that you should be as old as me. Shem kein lo yitlu banecha b'gdulascha. Then your children will never get a position of gidula. The ata nasi v'hein kol yimem. You had yoytos. Throughout your lifetime, you're going to be taka famous, nasi. But don't you want that your children should also be oil gidula? And that's a lesson for all of us that we want to, not only for ourselves, but we want that our children should also have covered in the out here in the outer world, and so therefore don't take all the cover for yourself, share it with your children and allow them also to take positions of power and of cover and dignity, etc. Yes.
Queen Elizabeth and Charles. Exactly what I was thinking.
Right.
The man's in his 70s and he's never worked really a day.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
He's 73.
Yeah. I didn't want to say it, but I was thinking exactly the same thing.
That's all that.
Yeah. Okay, very good. So you see a real life practical example. Exactly right.
Great minds thinking alike, but we were thinking alike.
These gentlemen certainly have great minds, so I'm sure that
we have great teachers.
Yeah, great teachers, okay. Well, you should all have a Riches Yom Vashanim to be able to go and continue
the work. It's funny because Rebbe gets his children were Talmidei Chachamim, though, so, I mean, they weren't just, you know, shepherds, they were learning. I mean, the children of Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi were Gedolim themselves. It's
a good question. Anyway, that's the story.
That speaks so well for his kids.
Yeah. So, Rabbi Shimon Karcha was a great person, but he wasn't in a position of power. Anyway, Zogti Moravaita Avu Bar Ihi Umin Yamin Bar Ihi. Presumably these are brothers, but it doesn't say Avu Bar Ihi Emin Yam Bar Ihi. Chatam Teisili. I was Zoicha. Presumably he was Zoicha Tarichas Yamin. Toliyastakli Vekusi. I didn't look at the face of a goy. Very often it says Kusi. If Lavdaf gets the censor, puts in Kusi. It could be that he had nothing to do with the early Christians who were trying to uproot the whole Klal Yisrael and the whole Yiddish guy. Chatam Teisili Dolei Avdi Shutfis Badi Kusi. I stayed away for having a Shutfis with them. Now, elsewhere, the Gemara says that Avodah Zarah, that one has to be very careful about doing shutfas with a goy, because it says in the pasuk, "V'shem elihim acherim lo yishoma al picha." The names of other gods and other idols should not be heard through your mouth. And the Gemara says, "What it means? It should not be heard through your mouth. Don't say the name of an Avodah Zarah." I think that's the basis why a lot of people don't say the final name of Yashka, because of that "Shem elihim acherim lo yishoma al picha." But the point that says the Gemara is, make sure, Yoshka is.
I know something. I don't even know his last name.
No, it starts with a C and ends with a T.
Oh, I see, H-R-I-S in between.
Okay. Anyway.
Yoshka Shmendrik.
Yeah, exactly. Shmendrik. Whatever name that you want to give him. But the point is, the Gemara says that if you do shutfus with a goy, what happens if you ever get into a dispute and you come into a secular court? Then that goy is going to go and swear in the name of his idol, the name of his avodah zarah. And therefore, shame of them achirim lo yishom al picha, don't allow for that name to result, not that you mentioned it, but because of this dispute, that it's going to be publicly proclaimed by your shutfus. What Rashi, the Tosis says on our Gemara, so what's special about Avu Bar'i or Minyam Bar'i, that they made up in advance in the original partnership agreement that if there's ever going to be a dispute, I, the Jew, will never be Mechayev you, the non-Jew, ever to make a Shavua, so this will never ever occur. So I will never have to worry about the Shemabich. But nevertheless, he still didn't go and make a Shutfis. If you look at the second choices, Taisi legally Avi Shutfis Amakusi, Afilu Be'inyan Sheni Yochol Lovai Lidei Shvua, even in the case where you could have drafted an agreement that he will never go and be Mechayim Meshua, Vafilu Yochol Olav Shvua Yifteranu, even if the court says, Mr. Smith, you have to go and swear on the 10 Bibles, I would go and say, no, I waive my rights. He doesn't have to swear. He doesn't have to mention his God's name. The Shar Bishar B'nei Adam, where for everybody else, this would then be permissible, because you don't have this problem of the mentioning of the other Avodah Zarah. He says, you know what? I'm going to stay away. I'm not going to make a shutfus. I don't even come to Psahavim in a zero. Goodish. So that's basically, that's the schar that I get on this world, presumably, the schar of longevity, although the Gemara doesn't say it explicitly. Shalom Talmid of Esra B'Zeira B'Meir Rachti Yom. How are you, Zeicha Derichas Yom? Amal Hem Yom Lichpadeti B'Toyf Beisi. At home, I was very, very gentle and genteel, and I never had hakpada against my wife and household members. I always treated everybody with great edelkeit, very, very pleasant way. Vloitzadim if they Misha Golmi many. If somebody was greater than me, I never walked in front of him. Vloitzir Hartim Vusat Munavvoyz, and he never had a bad thought. Not a bad thought. He never thought of Torah in a bad place. In other words, he's walking in Mokka Matunav. We had this whole bunch of shmutz, like tzoya and urine and things of that nature. And he would never go to Maharim Mokka Matunav when he went through. So now the two work in tandem very nicely. I was marked, but at all times, always, everywhere that I went, I was always walking and thinking and Torah, Torah, Torah. And I was always wearing tefillin. Ah, so then it's a big, big chiddush for your heart and Musaf to Nafis. Remember, we had this Gemara at the end of Masechtas Tanis, and then we told the story of this great, very, very wealthy person back in the Hain, back in Europe, who unfortunately was a Grace Am Aret. He was not a grace about tzedakah. He wasn't a particularly nice guy either. And he died. And the children went to the Rav and said to the Rav, we want you to go and make a nice hesped for him tomorrow. And the Rav says, what can I say about him? He never opened a gemara in his life. He was an amoritz. He never gave tzedakah to anybody. He was a growling, terrible guy. But Rabbi, we want you to go and make a nice hesped. Okay, I'll do what I can. The next morning, he had the big levaya for this wealthy fellow. And the Rav gets up and he said, the person who's here, don't think he's just a regular individual. He had the midah of Reb Zeira in the Gemara, where Reb Zeira was careful throughout his life, like here, harti b'mavoy samutunafay. He was never mahar in prayer. We can say about this nifter that there's no question about it. He was mekayim this. He was never mahar b'mavoy samutunafay. Okay, anyway, getting back to Gemara. Even though in a besmedish, like the Gemara says, it's a Beit Rabbanan, it's a place where the Rabbanan can act as if it's their home. We're going to have more about this on the Omid days. But nevertheless, I was careful never to go and fall asleep in besmedish. I didn't doze, not a Shinas Kama, not a Shinas Aroy. If Chas Shalom, my Chaver had some sort of downfall in whatever respect, I never had a simcha from it. It always bothered me. It bothered him. It bothered me. V'lekarosi l'chaveri v'chanichosei v'yamidlo v'chachinosei, or they reverse the gears, v'chachinosei v'chanichosei. Both of them mean nicknames. I never called my chaver by a nickname. What's the difference between one and the other? So Rashi says, you see Rashi before the Mishnah, about five lines before the Mishnah, v'chanichosei im kinu shem l'chaveri lignai. if they gave him some sort of name that wasn't a particularly, it was a demeaning type of name, a denigrating type of name. It wasn't particular to him. But about that family, you say, you know, the Schwarzer family, or whatever nice name that they had for that family, they're talking about that when you write a get, not only do you write the person's name, but any type of nickname that he's known with, or that she is known with in the community. So he said, I was always very, very careful to call him, to give him his respect and his dignity, and I wouldn't go and call him, the family of the Schleppers, the Schlepper family, no. I never did that. So, with that, he was zoicha to Arichas Yamim. So for Mekayim, all of these wonderful things in the Gemara that we had, for Zalfan, for Reb Zakai, for Reb Loza, for Reb Preda, for Reb Nechunya Hagoda, Reb Nechunya Ben Akona, and Reb Yishu Ben Karcha, and Reb Zayr, etc. For Mekayim, all of them, then hopefully that will be a school of a real, real Arichas Yom B'Shan. On to the next Mishnah, of the Mishnah Baita. But on Rabbi Yehuda, we had a discussion in the earlier Mishnayos about Beis Knesses, what can you do in terms of selling it, and what type of conditions. So now we continue talking about that a little bit further. And now we talk about, unfortunately, a Beis Knesses that has become subject to destruction. The owner of Rabbi Yehuda, Beis Knesses, Shecharev. It's Charev. It doesn't say why it's hard. Maybe it's just simply old. Maybe all the members have moved away. Maybe there was a war. But whatever happened, this Beis Knesses is no longer the beautiful shul that it was many, many years ago. Nebuch, it's a hard. Nevertheless, says Rabbi Yehuda, don't treat it with disrespect. It still has Kedushas Beis HaKnesses. And therefore, Ein Maspidim B'Saychai, you can't even get together to make a Hespid. We're going to talk about a Hespid more on the Amud Beis shortly. Ve'in Mafshilim B'Toichich Havolim, Ve'in Porsil B'Toichich Metzudais, Ve'in Shoichin Al Gagai Peiris. So Rashi explains when it says Ein Mafshilim. Mafshil Metoich Chavolim literally means to go and twist ropes. When you want to go and make a nice thick rope, then you have to take many, many like thinner threads or fibers, and you have to go and twist them all together to make that thick rope. To do that, you have to have a lot of space. You can't do it in a small little closet. If you want to go and make a good twisting of a rope, you have to tie it on one side, and then you pull it on the other side, and you have to twist it. So you need a lot of space. And a shul that's chorev, presumably if it's a large shul, you have a lot of space. Don't do that, says Rashi. Really, it's referring to any type of umnis or malacha. It's just that Havsholas Chavolim needs much more space, and that's why the Gemara, the Mishnah, gives that example. I want to try out my new net, or my new trap. So you also need a lot of space to go and put it out, because these are traps not only for cockroaches, but maybe for an elephant or something. You need a huge elephant trap. And therefore, don't do that in the shul. As you know, it was customary to go and put the peiros out during the summer months in the Mediterranean countries, where it doesn't typically rain during the months of July or August. So you'd go and put it out on the field, and you'd put it on top of your gag, so that it would become dried out. Don't do that on this broken down Beis HaKnesses.
It doesn't sound like these are such good things to do in a Beis HaKnesses in any event. I mean,
it's a churba, it's not a function Beis HaKnesses.
But it's saying you wouldn't do that because, you wouldn't want to do that in a synagogue that's functioning.
Yeah, for sure. So it's like a kolskin, a kalvachomer.
Yeah.
I might have thought that since this Beis HaKnesses is churba, nobody's davening there anymore for the last 5 years.
Oh, I see.
And therefore, Nebuch, it's Nebuch. It's lost its status, and the tour guides show you this is what the big shul used to look like. At one time, the chazan Yossel Rosenblatt used to go and daven here, but unfortunately, it's fallen into disuse. And blah, 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 blah. So I might think you can use it now for divrei chol, commercial, and you cannot. Shenemar and noise kapandria, also don't use it for a shortcut. You want to go through one side to the other. Shenemar, like it says in the pasuk, Shemoisi es mikdashechem. That Kodesh Baruch Hu, this is actually a pasuk in the Toichicha, that Chas V'Shalom, if Yidden are going to sin, then your holy places, Vashimoisi, are going to become desolate. They're going to become destroyed. But it says in the pasuk, as Mishnah, in other words, Kedushasen Afke Shehen Shoyman, even though they've become desolate and they become destroyed, nevertheless, they are still Mikdushasen. That's why the pasuk says, Mikdushasen, they're still Kodesh, even though they've become desolate. What happens if it's now at the point that grass is now growing from the ground in the shul, which is not that surprising in the good old days when many people did not have linoleum or carpets or wooden floors, but rather they had dirt floors. So now, unfortunately, weeds and grass is growing on its own. Loyitloish, don't go mitoylish it, leave it in the agvas nefesh, that people should come by and see it, and they should say, I remember the glory of this shul years ago when the masses used to come and it was great and it was beautiful. If when you see the grass growing, hopefully people will have, if you will, hirhurei tshuva, and they'll start saying, you know what? What can we do to go and rebuild the shul and let's make a big capital campaign, etc., etc. We'll learn more in the Amid Bey. Zokimar. Turn about. What can he see us? Ainly hagin v'em kalis reish. You're not allowed to go and treat them with frivolity. You have to go and have it's a mokum kovoid, and therefore ain oichlim ben, you cannot eat in a shul, ain choice in ben, you cannot go and drink in a shul. The ain neoisim ben, you also cannot adorn yourself in a shul. Quite to go and comb your hair or do something like that. Vein metailim ben, you can't just go and walk and take a stroll shul. Vein nichnasim ben chamam neacham nichsham neagsham. If it happens to be a very hot day outside or it's pouring outside, you're not allowed to go into a shul for the sole purpose of protecting yourself from the sun or from the rain. Vein maspin ben hesped shel yochid. You can't go and make a hesped for a yochid, for a private individual. Avol, what you are allowed to do is koyin ben, you're allowed to go and read from mikra, from Tanakh. Vishoyin ben, you can go learn mishnayis. Umaspin ben hesped shel rab. That you're allowed to go and read from Tanakh or learn mishnayis, that would seem to be obvious. Why shouldn't you? And the answer is because, as we've learned in the past, and as we're going to continue learning, there are differences between a Beis HaKnesses and a Beis HaMedrash. A Beis HaKnesses, a synagogue, was considered to be miyuchad just for davening. Mashenken a Beis HaMedrash was a place that was miyuchad for learning. And that's why in the Beis HaMedrash, we'll see in the Gemara a little bit further down, a Beis HaMedrash became known as the Bei Rabbanan. That was like the house of the rabbis or the Talmidim. And so therefore they were allowed to do in that Beis HaMedrash virtually anything they wanted to. I've obviously not shown a Dover Bizoyin, but even to do their normal, like, eating or drinking. That's why we do have Tikkun and Kiddush in a Beis HaMedrash, because that's considered to be a Beis HaMedrash and not a Beis HaKnesses, but you typically would not find in a synagogue that they go and have Kiddush. They would send everybody to a room next door or downstairs or Simcha Hall or whatever, because there's a difference between Kiddush's Beis HaKnesses and Kiddush's Beis HaMedrash. And therefore, the Gemara is telling us is that you are allowed to go and learn in a shul, even though it's Miyuchad for Tvila, that's okay. And you're allowed to make a hesped shel rab. Now, what's the difference between a hesped shel yochid that you're not allowed to do and a hesped shel rab that you are allowed to do? Rashi goes and takes it from a very practical perspective. And he says, a hesped shel rabim is talking about, for instance, a great Talmud Chacham, where you're expecting that there are going to be masses. Where are you going to fit all of these masses? Inside the shul. Masha Enkein, if it's just a yochid, a plain, ordinary individual, you would expect that there'll be, yes, a minion, but not going to be masses, and therefore go and take a smaller location. See Rashi on the first line, hesped shel rabim, second line, shel Talmud Chacham shemeis, shetzrich lis asef ula haspidoi. That's a large sanctuary. You have a lot of people. There's room for a large hesped. But if the hesped shel yochid, which is not for a Talmud Chacham, therefore you don't need such a large area, then you should rather go and do it in a different location. Rabbi Yehuda. So Rabbi Yehuda says, I listened to everything the Tanakhama said. When do these rules and regulations apply? Be yeshuvan, when the shul is still an active, functioning shul. Once they're chorav, meinichan oisan, you leave them be, and you allow grass to grow from them. And don't go and uproot it, meyagas nefesh, like we had in our Mishnah. Let the grass grow and cause agmas nefesh. Now the question over here is an obvious one. Freik Timura, avsovim mandachar shemayu. You have Rabbi Yehuda coming on the scene. He listens to the Tanakhama. He says, Tanakhama, you know what you said, that applies to Yishuv. But if it's a Chorban, you know what you're allowed to do? Leave the grass, don't uproot it, so it should be Agmas Nefesh. So the Tanakhama would say to him, Rabbi Yehuda, were you listening? Did I mention the word grass? Did I say that you should take out the grass? You shouldn't take out the grass. I listed a whole bunch of other things. What does Rabbi Yehuda say? Yeah, what the Tanakhama says is right, the Yishuv above Chorbanim. Let the grass grow. Who said differently? Who would mention it? Remember, this is not the Mishnah, this is the Braisa. You have to add a few words to the Tanakhama. that after Tanakhama gives the long list of the things you can and cannot do, he says, "Umechabden oisan," you should constantly sweep the shuls. "Umarbitzen oisan," marbitzen means that after you finish sweeping, if you have an earthen or a dirt floor, then typically some of the avak, the dust, will tend to go and rise. To cause the dust to settle, they used to go and sprinkle some water, and that would cause the dust to settle down on the ground. You are supposed to be mechavenoisim, arbitzenoisim, kedeshaliyale ben asavim. The reason why you go and do the constant sweeping, so that in fact no grass should grow in the shul, because that would be
a
bizoyan for the shul. On that, Amar of Yehuda, Amos, when do I say that you're supposed to mechabed the shul? Mechabed has a double meaning here. Not only to go and sweep, but to go and add honor and not allow dishonor in the shul, be yeshuvan, when the shul is, Baruch Hashem, still functioning. But if the shul is unfortunately now a charvin, manichan oisan la'alois, then you allow the grass to grow. And olu behem asavim, and once the grass grows, lo yitloish, don't uproot it. And they agmas nefesh, we want people to agmas nefesh, that they should see that this shul is never baruch banoi, and then hopefully they'll do something about it, that it should no longer be hard. Am Ravasi. The Batei Knesiyos that are in Bavel, outside of Eretz Yisrael, they are built al tanai. Now what exactly does it mean al tanai? Says Rashi, al menas sheyishtamshu behen. So when the Batei Knesiyos were built, they had in mind already at that time that they should be able to go and use them for other purposes. But nevertheless, in the Agin ben Kalis Rosh. Okay, you can use it for other things, but there is a line. It doesn't mean that you can do anything and everything. You can't go and make the shul into a gym or something like that. So tomorrow, give me an example of Kalis Rosh, cheshbonis, to go and do various cheshbonis, to do all your accounting and your books inside the shul, even though you've made a tanai that you can use it for other tashmishim, but don't make it into a business center in a place where you're doing your cheshbonis that you should do somewhere else.
They come to Carmel, so they wanted to rent out our space for various staging of films and things.
In the shul itself?
In the shul itself. They wanted to use the space. It's right off the West End. They wanted.
So did you permit them to do so?
It was a whole thing. We made them put up machitz. We had machitzes in front of their arm. Now I'm seeing maybe we shouldn't have done it, but we...
Okay. I leave it in your good hands.
I saw this tomorrow. Okay. Next time we'll be more careful. Not to,
very good.
They paid a lot of money.
Okay. I guess if Yannis a coil, but nevertheless, Okay, I leave you to make cheshbonis next time outside the shul, not inside.
I promised that it would be nothing improper in the shul. It was okay. Just a staging area. Mm-hmm. So we figured the staging.
Well, they were using it to film. They were filming.
No, storage. For anything improper, but right. Just to stage.
And stuff like that.
But the question is whether, even according to that, whether you're allowed to do such a thing.
Number one, and number two, what they say is improper, what you define as improper, may not be exactly the same thing. Anyway, let's continue on.
Oh, like Rabbi. Local Orthodox rabbi. Right. Local is the word.
And competent is the word.
Thank you.
Om Ravasi, Beis HaKnesset Shemachashvin Boi Cheshboinis Malinim Boi Esemeth. In a shul where they in fact violated what we just said. And they do Cheshboinis in the shul, Malinim Boi Esemeth, that's a shul where you can go and allow a mess to be Malinim, meaning to let a mess go and lie there in state, so to speak. Pray tomorrow, Malinim Tzolkadaitach, just because they went and did Cheshboinis, there's going to be a mess there. Are you telling me that that's a requirement? On Sunday you put cheshbonis, and then tomorrow you got to go and bring in a mess. Come on, what's going on? What we mean to say is that if a person is not careful about the kedusha, the sanctity of a shul, chas v'sholem, eventually it may come to the situation where there'll be a mess mitzvah. Nobody wants to take care of this particular mess. He has no family, no friends, no nothing. Unfortunately, the only place they're going to go and find a place to go and place the mess until the mess is buried, they're going to find this shul where they were ready mevazah once with cheshbonis. Now they're going to mevazah it again. It becomes like a mortuary, never chachmul etzlan, for people that passed away. By the way, there's a very famous shul in Prague, which is called the Altnoy Shul, and there is a machlokis of the historians and the Yiddishisten. What's the reason? How did it get the name Altnoy? So the reason that's given in the history books is because that is one of the oldest shuls around. I believe it was built in 1270, and at that time it was called the new shul, the Neue Shul. Later on, in the 14 and 1500s and later, they built newer shuls. So therefore they called the old shul, that's the Alt Neue Shul. Yes, for many years it was known as the Neue Shul, but now it's the old new shul because they are now newer new shuls. However, others say that it's based on Agimara, that when they built the shul, they built it Alt Tanai, and therefore the Alt Neue is not old new, but Alt Tanai, it was written, when they originally dedicated the shul, was Alt Tanai, that you should be able to go and eat there and drink there, make a kiddush there, things of that nature, but not to cheshbonis. You got to do other ishtamshin, but don't be mevasim. Okay, zukim yes.
Is this a testing center or something? Or
depends what. If it's a testing center for COVID, maybe that's a very important thing.
But,
all right. Yeah. Yeah. If it's for astronauts, maybe they shouldn't do it there. Vein yoisemeh amar rava chacham v'talmidei mutarim in a besmedrish. You are allowed to go, and the oisin means even to adorn yourself, if wise to go and shmer yourself, to go and comb your hair or something like that. You have Reb Shulman Levi, my Beit Rabbanan. How did the Besmedrash get the name Beit Rabbanan? Beis Rabbanan means the bias, it's the home of the Rabbanan. And just like whatever you do at home, you can do over there. Rashi says, Beisam Hula Choldover, it becomes like your home, and that's why a person could doze off in Besmedrash, and it's that was not uncommon in the good old days when they didn't have, when yeshivas didn't have dormitories, and the Talmidim couldn't find a place to sleep. Very often they slept on the bench of the Besmedrash. How can you do that? It's a Mizoyim. No, it's a Beit Rabbanan. You're allowed. But obviously, don't use it, Chas HaShom, for a urinal or something like that, but normal, regular things that you do at home, you can go and do in a Besmedrash. These two great people, Ravina and Ravada Bar Masna, were asking a shayla from Rava, Asa Zilcha de Mitra, and then all of a sudden it came a torrential rain. Actually, says a very strong Russian. Zilcha de Mitra, Zerem Maim Sheboim Bekoyach. It was a stream of rain that was coming down with strength all the way from Shemaim. Ooh, so they couldn't stand out there in the terrible rain. Ayla Beknisha, they went into the shul. Hey, didn't we just say you're not allowed to go into a shul? B'chamam ne'achama u'bikshamam ne'hagishamim. Amri hayda lino be'knisha. The reason why we went into shul, amishamitra. That would be prohibited. El mishum b'shmaitze b'yitzelusa ki yoyme de'istana. Since he asked a shayla, and we're focusing on halacha, then shmaitze means a dvar halacha, b'yitzelusa needs a clear mind, ki yoyme de'istana, like a beautiful day, when you have a very pleasant northern wind which is blowing, bringing in nice and fresh air. So therefore, standing outside in that torrential rain, there's no way that we could possibly focus our attention on the shayla that was posed. If we go inside, now we can talk about it, we can sit down, have yeshiva das, etc. What happens if you have an appointment, you have to meet Mr. Smith in shul, and Mr. Smith is there in shul? You can't go into shul unless you're going there for a purpose, like to go daven, but to stop going to shul, I'm a lay, so what am I supposed to do? I want to call him, I don't want to scream at the top of my lungs, "Hey, yeah, Uncle Smith, yeah, Uncle, come on out." So what is he going to do? So I'm a lay, he says, "I have an eitzah." Eitzah merabban, if the person who is calling out the gavra in the shul, if the person who is calling him is a tumer, but is a tamid chacham, who lay milchasa. So let him go into the shul, and before he calls out the other gavra, he should go and say a short dvar halacha. We tanahu lay mimasnisin, and if he is not a baal halacha, the grace of tamid chacham is a bisl shvacha, let him at least go and recite a mishnah baal peh. V'karahu, and if he doesn't know a mishnah baal peh, but if at least he's a shtikl baal koyre, he knows a little bit mikra, a little psukim, lay him psukah, so let him say brachos bar lakim, let him say psaposik. V'loi, if he doesn't even know that, lay him liyinuka, if there's a tinnik around, he should say emoli psukecha, which was very common in the good old days. You find in the Gemara very often that if they wanted to know what's the mood, what's going to happen, they would
shtikl
go, yeah, the shtikl ruha, koyre shtikl levua, and they would ask the tinnik, go and please tell me, what are you learning? So you would hear a pasuk. Inami, if you don't even have that, if there are no children around, nishipur to an ekav, at least stand there for a few seconds before you go and call out the gavra. In other words, go make a shtikl kvias in the shul, doesn't have to be long, but don't just in and out, because that would be a bizoyin, and therefore go and at least wait. In the Sfarim it says that one should sit down for a moment, and then there's a special pasuk that one says. Some people say Asher Yoishve Visecha Oyd Luchasala, which is an easy pasuk that people are familiar with. Asher Yoishve, oh, he's sitting in his medrash. And then there are other psukim as well. Umas vimehem hesvich Rabbi. Hey, Chidami Hespeda the Rabbi. Give me an example of Hespeda the Rabbi. Mechvi Rav Chizdek Yigoyen Hespeda the Koi Bey Rav Sheshes. Mechvi Rav Sheshes Yigoyen Hespeda the Koi Bey Rav Chizdek. Rav Sheshes and Rav Chizdek were apparently standing together or in the same room. The question was posed. Give me an example of Hespeda the Rabbi. So each one wanted to give covet to the other. So Rav Chizdek said, it's not only the one that passed away, it's also who is going to be present at this Levaya. When they hear that Rav Sheshes is coming to Levaya, everybody's going to tell them they want to see the great Rav Sheshes, and obviously if he's coming, there must be an important mess. Otherwise, why would Rav Sheshes spend the time? So therefore, Rav Chizdek said, you're going to spend the Koi Bey, Rav Sheshes. If Rav Sheshes appears there, that has been, oh, it's going to be a huge oil. And Rav Sheshes returned the compliment. Mech Rav Sheshes, Rav Sheshes now point in the direction of Rav Chizdek. And it's paid at the Koi Bey Rav Chizdek. That's our Girsa. Bey means that he will attend that Levaya. There's another Girsa where they take away the hay. And therefore it says the Koi Bey Rav Sheshes or Bey Rav Chizdek. And that would be a shortened version of like Beis HaMedrash or Bayis of Rav Chizdek. If it's someone from Rav Sheshes' is Beis HaMedrash or someone from Rav Chizdek's Beis HaMedrash, then you can be guaranteed there's going to be a huge oilam because the Rosh Hashiva is going to be there together with all the Talmidim to go and give covet. So basically the same shot, but a difference whether Bey that he's going to attend or means from his household, from his Beis HaMedrash, from his close people, etc. Gemara tells us Rafram, Aspid of a Kalse, Rafram's daughter-in-law unfortunately had passed away, and he was being maspid her by Knishta in a shul. How can you make an aspid in a shul? Hama mishim yakra didi, udemisa osu kuli alma. So Rafram, with a slight degree here of humility, is saying, because of the covet of me, and because of the mess, meaning my daughter-in-law, that's why a large crowd has formed. Presumably the main reason was because of Rafram, but he also attributed the reason to his daughter-in-law. But it's the combination, Yakim Didi Udamisa. Rab Zeira Saftilhu Mirabanan Bidekanisha, he held the hesped for Humirabanan. Omar Imishum Yakra Didi, Imishum Yakra the Misa, the Bach takes out the word Didi. Meaning that Rab Zeira says, not like Rafram said, a combination of my daughter-in-law and me, but Rab Zeira says, the reason why we allowed for this hesped to take place in the shul is either because they heard that I'm coming and therefore there was going to be a large levaya because of me, or because of Mirabana, never the person who passed away was a choshev and talmud chacham, and that's why people are coming in his honor. Also, kol yalma, there'll be a large crowd. Reish Lakish safte luhu turman. Okay, so now the Gemara is going to distinguish between a hesped that Reish Lakish gave and the requester of Nachman bar Yitzchak to give a hesped. And the Gemara is going to focus on a Baal Halacha. Now, we think today of a Baal Halacha as being a posek. The word Halacha, when it's used in Chazal, is usually meant as a person who's familiar with Mishnayos. And the reason why it's called Halacha, because Mishnayos are very succinct. Oh, he knows this Halacha, he knows the Mishnah. However, it's often the case that the Gemara looks down on a person who is a Baki in Mishnayos if he does not know Gemara. Because, as Rashi points out, very often there are stirot between one Mishnah and another Mishnah. Or there is a kasha between a Mishnah and a Braisa. And how does the Gemara resolve them? Often the Gemara has to go and say, Surah Mechsur of Achitani, you have to add a few words. Or the Gemara is going to say, we don't paskin like that Mishnah, we paskin like another Tana from another Mishnah or from another Braisa. And so on and so forth. So therefore you cannot rely on Mishnayos, you can rely on Gemara, because the Gemara develops the thought and tells you the machloikis and what the Amiram thought about it, etc., etc. And of course, Shulchan Aruch and Rambam and all the later poskim all are based on Gemaras and not based on Mishnayos. The discussion in the Gemara, they go and take it apart and they analyze it, etc., etc., until they come up with Halacha L'maisa. So, we'll see that Reish Lakish had a much more gratuitous feeling about people that were Bali Halacha, Bali Mishnayos. Rav Nachman Yitzchak did not think of them very highly. As we'll see. Rav Reish Lakish, as we'll see, was far more gracious. Reish Lakish sapte lehu tzur b'mirabonan, tishchiach ba'ardi Yisrael. Reish Lakish and Rav Yochanan lived in Eretz Yisrael, so Reish Lakish said about a Talmud Chacham that would come with some frequency to Eretz Yisrael, who unfortunately had passed away, to have a Tani, that Talmud Chacham learned Hilchasa B'chov Dalet Shurta. He learned Halacha in 24 rows. Now what does it mean he learned in 24 rows? It's a Machloikis HaMeforshim. Rashi says, Shoyeshoyne Mishnayis HaTalmidim, he taught Mishnayis, not just to three Talmidim, there were 24 rows of Talmidim. And assuming each row had five people, now we're talking about 120 Talmidim. And if they had 10 people, we're talking about 240 Talmidim. So therefore, he was a Choshev Yid who taught Halacha Mishnayis to many, many Yid. Others learned Tani Hilchasa that he was one of the Shvachre Talmidim, and he learned Mishnayis, he was in the 24th row. He was not in the first row, the second row. He was all the way in the back of the room, so to speak. Well, maybe the room had 48 rows. We don't know. But he was in the 24th row. Nevertheless, what did Rish Lakish say about him? Amar Vai, woe is to us. Chaseira Eretz Yisrael. Eretz Yisrael is missing Gavra Rabba, such a great person, such a great Talmud Chacham that knew so much Mishnayis. Hahu Dehav Etoni Hilchasa, Sifra, the Sifri, the Tisefta. There was a person, a different individual, who knew Hilchasa, means he knew Mishnayis, he knew Sifra, Sifri. Sifra and Sifri are the Midrashim of Halacha on the Sifrei Vayikra, Mamidbar, and Dvarim. So instead of calling them Midrashim, Midrashim has that sound of Agadah term. Sifra and Sifri means a Medrash of Halacha on those Svarim. V'Tisefta is a group of Brises. Many of our Gemaras have Tisefta in the back of the Gemara. Those are collections of Brises. So he knew quite a bit. V'shachar, and he passed away. Also, the Amalei that Rav Nachman, as we'll see in the next line, it was Rav Nachman by Yitzchak. They asked Rav Nachman Yitzchak, listen, we want you to go and hold the hesped for that great Talmud Chacham. Omar, and he said, hey, how can I possibly give a hesped? Haitzana de Mali Sifri de Chaser. All we're missing is a big basket full of Svarim. And therefore, as you see, Rav Nachman Yitzchak did not give a lot of kavod to this individual, because he felt, since he never got to the next step of learning Gemara, yes, he had this great encyclopedic knowledge of all of these Mishnayis and Sfrasri, but what could he do with it? Because he never learned Gemara to go and explain who is this Mandiyama, that Mandiyama, Chsuri Mechsra, what do you have to add, what do you have to subtract, what is a Machloikis, etc., etc. And therefore the Gemara says now, look at the contrast. Tochazi, ma bein takiva de Arad Yisrael, lechaside de Bavel. Rish Lakish was considered to be a takif in Eretz Yisrael, while Rav Nachman Yitzchak was considered to be a chassid, a really nice guy, so to speak. Look, the takif, that Rish Lakish, he was willing to go and give a beautiful hesped. Oh, we're missing, woe to us, we're missing this Gavra Rabba, who only knew Mishnayis. But Rav Nachman Yitzchak wasn't willing to go and give a hesped for this person who was so full of Mishnayis and Sifron and Sifrim and Tisefta. And he said, how can I go? And he's just, he's like a walking library, but he's not a Talmud Chacham because he doesn't know the differences. He never learned Gemara. So you see the difference between the Takif Darei Yisrael and the Chassidei Dibavka. Tanan Hasa. We learned in the Mishnah, to Mishnah Masechtas Ovois and Pirkei Ovois, Udishtamish Betaga Cholav. A person who is Mishamish Betaga. Taga means a Keser. A Keser is a crown of Torah. Someone who has his Mishtamish, somebody, he allows someone who is a Keser Shol Torah, Choshev Etamet Chochem, to Mishamish him, Cholav Chas Hashem, that person will pass away from the world. So the Gemara says, Tanei Rish Lakish, Zeh Mishtamish, B'mi Sheshoyne Halachas. This is referring to not only a person who learned Gemara, but even a person who just learned Mishnah. And of course, this is Rish Lakish Lishitase, that Rish Lakish was Mishabeach, a person that only knew Mishnayis. So don't allow a person just knows Mishnayis to go and be Mishamishu. The Bach takes out the words Kisra Shul Torah. So that's the definition of the word Taga, Mishtamish Mishu Shoyin Halachas. The Yom Ula. Ula, however, disagreed. And Ula said, Lishtamish inish b'man de toni arbo'o, for the Lishtamish b'man de masni arbo'o. You can be Mishamish with someone who learned the Mishnayis of arbo'o Sidorim. The arbo'o Sidorim that he's referring to are the six Sidorim that we have, minus Zroim and Taharis. Because in the times of the Amiroim, unfortunately, neither Zroim nor Taharis were anymore Nagia Lamaisa. Zeroim, because the vast majority of Klal Yisrael already lived in Chutz Laretz, as well as Taharis, because the Dinim of Brin Kodshim, there was no Beis Hamikdash, and therefore, and there was no Truma, and things of that nature, so Taharis already fell away. But the other, the major three in the middle, of course, the Noshim Nezikim, Moya Noshim Nezikim, are Negea, even Bezman Hazeh, and even though Kodshim, unfortunately, at the moment, are not Negea, but the Mefarshim say, since we say, in the Karbonis, whoever learns the Hilchos Kachim, it's as if he's Makrif Kachim. No, so you got to learn Kachim if you want to be Ki'ilo Hikrif Kachim. So a person who is an expert, who's proficient in Mishnayis, says, Ula of these four Sadarim, you're allowed to use him to be your servant, to help you out. But however, if he learned Gemara on these four, that's a different story. That's already a great Talmud Chacham. You not allow him to do a Shimush. And now the Gemara tells us this story about Rish Lakish. Remember, Rish Lakish says that even if you teach Mishnayis, if you learn Mishnayis, that's already, don't be Mishamish such a person. Don't allow him to be Mishamish you. Rish Lakish was walking down the street. Mata Orka in the mind, he comes across a large puddle of water and he couldn't get to the other side. Also, a Gavra, a person, unnamed individual, comes on the scene. Arkavi Akaspe, he immediately goes and takes Rish Lakish and he puts him on his shoulders, become Evelay, and he goes through the water and takes Rish Lakish to the other side. Amalei, so Rish Lakish kind of gets nervous. Amalei Karisa, do you know how to learn Mikra? In other words, like Tanakh? Amalei Karina, yeah, I know Mikra. Karisa, did you learn Mishnayas? Yes, Tanina Arbo Siddi Mishnah, yes, in fact, I know the Mishnayas. Amalei, if that's the case, Pasal Tulecha, here the word Pasal is not from a Lashon of Psul, but it's like Psul Lecha Shnei Luchais, to go and carve out and chisel out all of this Torah, Pasalta Lecha Arba Turi. You have chiseled out for yourself this great four Turi. Four Turi means the four Siddurim, the four Siddurim of Mishnayis. V'tanta Bar Lakish HaKaspech, and you're carrying me, Chas V'Shalom, Shani Bar Lakish V'Mayis, throw me down straight into the water. I have no right to be Mishamish with you because you're a Baki of Mishnayis. And I just said before, you're not allowed to go be Mishamish with someone who's a Baki of Mishnayis. Amalei, so the Mishamish, this Talmud Chacham, said to Rish Lakish, Nichali Dashmin Lamar, I want to be Mishamishu after all. The word Ashminan, says Rashi, doesn't mean over here to listen to Marcus. If you listen to him, he would throw him down. It's from the Lashon of Shameh. Shameh means the Shamis. It's Nichali. Nevertheless, I still prefer to Mishamish you, Rish Lakish, you are the God of Lador, I want to go and carry you on my shoulders, please let me do so. Said now Rish Lakish, Yochi, if that's the case, Gemar Mini Hamilza, then at least I want you to be my Talmud, because a Talmud is allowed to be Mishamish Sharebah. But you never learned anything from me, this is the first time I ever met you, says Rish Lakish to this fellow. So he said to me, Gomer Milza, I want to teach you one halacha, the Emor of Zera, Benoyis Yisrael, Hei Nechmir Al-Azra, Shafil Roiz, Tibus Tanke Chadl, Yoishu is Olav Shivanikim, a very famous memra that you have at the end of Masechtas Nida. It's brought another couple of times in Shas, that all of our ladies today are all machmir, that even though they only see a little drop of blood, Tibus Tanke Chadl, they already go and sit Shivanikim, without going through all of the Hilchos Nida and Zova. Suffice it to say, when a woman normally gets her regular menstrual cycle every single month, she can go and see up to 7 days straight of blood, 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 every single day. And as long as at the end of that seventh day, Baruch Hashem, the flow has ended, she's boidik herself and she sees, Baruch Hashem, no more blood, we're done. Min ha-toira, she can go to the toivel and the mikveh after those 7 days are over, and she becomes muteres libala. What is this inyan of the Shiva Nikir? What happens if between one cycle and another cycle, what the Gemara calls the Yud Aleph Yom Shevei Nida Le Nida, what happens if she sees blood at that time? And she doesn't just see blood on one day, 2 days, she sees 3 straight days of blood, even though it's only a little bit. She becomes a Zova, and then she has to count Shiva Nikir, and after that she has to go to the mikveh. Now this Zova is kind of an unusual situation. Most women just see during the normal cycle. So they shouldn't have to go and add on another 7 days of Nikir. However, Arbanu Yisrael were extolling the virtues of the Yiddish Techta, that they're all machmel atzman, that even though they see at tibas dam kachar at any time, they always wait shiva nikim before they go to the mikveh, etc. So that's a very important halacha. He taught that to the fellow underneath. So now he becomes a Talmud of his. Since he becomes a Talmud, he's allowed to go and be mishamishim after all. and the Rambam and Pirush HaMishnayis on Masechtas Avos, when he explains Udadishtamish b'taga cholav, the word taga we said before means a keser, means a crown of Torah. However, he teaches it that the word taga is Rosh HaTevis. Talmid gavra achrina. He is a Talmud of somebody else. You're not allowed to be mishtamish with a Talmud Chacham who is a Talmud of a Gavra Achrina of somebody else. However, if it's your Talmud, even though he happens to be a Talmud Chacham, if he wants to mishamish you, you're allowed to have him be mishamish. So that's the word Taga. He is the Talmud of a Gavra Achrina of another individual that you're not allowed to be mishtamish. Then Chas V'Shalom Cholav. But if it's your Talmud, says Rambam, then it's okay. Finally, we finish off the Gemara. Tanav Eliyahu. We spoke about the importance of learning Mishnayos. Kol Hashana Halachas. Whoever learns Mishnayos, Mov Tavoyishu Ben Olam Habash. Nem Halichas Olam Lo Yatik Halichas Halachas. Then this is very, very choshev, and that's why there are a lot of people that learn a Mishnah a day or multiple Mishnayos a day because they want this special bracha Ben Olam Habah. Yatik Halichas El Halachas Olam Lo. He's going to be zoicha to Olam Habah. Have a wonderful day, Rabbi Zizagi Ben. Thank you all for listening.